The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour is live. First hour, we had Eli Gold from Alabama and Mark Stoops, head coach at Kentucky. Much more to do, but we'll finally get some calls pouring in here. And Todd is up next. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Paul. Long time no see. I hope today finds you healthy and enjoying life.
I am. Doing great. Thank you for asking. You too.
The last time I saw you, we were playing a charity golf event at Limestone Springs for cystic fibrosis, so that has been a while, has it not?
Oh my, it sure has. And what a beautiful place that is. I miss it. I miss everything in Alabama, for that matter.
Indeed it is. I hate to say it, Paul, but I think you might be slipping just slightly. Because the old Feinbaum would have already had a video clip for us. I was not surprised when you broke the Nick Saban story the other day, but I've been waiting ever since for the video where Nick Saban made the coronavirus cry.
I have no doubt that Nick Saban, if he could just take a day off, would probably be able to come up with the COVID vaccine in about 5 minutes.
Paul, here's a question for you. Has Alabama stomped a mud hole in anybody yet?
Seems like Georgia got one on Saturday night in the second half.
I'm talking about, you know, I don't know. I mean, that was a great victory, and of course, I'm happy because I'm a Tiger.
I mean, Todd, they shut down the number three team in the country. I mean, that to me is as close to a mud hole as you can get.
I made that comment to a guy that works here where I'm currently residing, and he said, "Well, there's Tennessee coming up this weekend."
Yeah, no, I see the smart out. The old Feinbaum would have said that's Saturday in Knoxville, but you know, I'm a shell of my former mean self.
Paul, did you play sports in Knoxville?
Sure.
For UT. I know you played a lot of pinball time out in Delhi.
Yeah, I was a four-string quarterback.
I was a five-star pinball All-American in Memphis.
Yeah, I was not that good at pinball, but I earned 5 stars in a few things in Knoxville that I can't mention here.
Yeah, well, didn't we all, especially starting with the World Fair in 1982?
Right.
I drank more Stroh's beer than Mr. Stroh himself. But it's fun, Paul, to see you and hear you take calls again. The mid and late 90s was certainly a heady time for people who wanted to know what was going on in the world of sports, and all they had to do was tune into the Feinbaum Show every day. You were the Bastogne crossroads of all sports information.
Yeah, no, it was. Todd, it was an amazing time. It was, and. Hopefully we'll look back on these times in similar ways. Logan is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Logan.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great.
Excellent. I just want to say thank you so much for having Eli Gold on. You know, he's a great voice. I listen to him every time in lieu of the national broadcast. And going back to those lean times when I have to listen to him on the internet radio, you know, back in the early 2000s. He's a treasure. And I didn't know he had a lot to do with your first job. That was pretty cool to hear.
Yeah, no, it's a story that we'll go into in much greater detail one time, but that was my first radio gig. It was not overly successful, but it gave me a chance to finally I had no idea I barely know what I'm doing now. Can you imagine back then?
Yeah, that's awesome though. I just wanted to say a couple things real quick. Obviously, Bama, we have Georgia's number. I mean, it's ridiculous. Never for 1 second did I think that game was going to get out of hand. I thought we had them controlled the whole time. So I won't go too much more into that. But I just wanted to ask you a few things. Did you see, well, I know you saw it, but what do you think about that Clemson score against Georgia Tech?
Yeah, somebody mentioned this today, and I'm not one to want to pile on, but think about and let's leave the Falcons out because, I mean, they're not really worth discussing. They're already.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the mainline teams in Georgia, Georgia Tech lost by an epic score, the worst score in ACC history. Georgia just got taken apart. And then the choke job last night.
For the Braves.
Yeah. I mean, how much worse can it get?
It's like a curse on Georgia. But I was going to propose a trade. Clemson has it way too easy. What would you say if we traded Kentucky to the ACC and have Clemson come play in the SEC where they could actually have some competition?
Yeah, but you know something, Logan, and I know everybody thinks I don't ever say anything good about the ACC, but if you look closely at Clemson's remaining schedule, it's pretty good. I mean, they have North Carolina. They have Notre Dame. Those are two. I mean, well, North Carolina lost the other day, but they still are a good team.
Yeah, another choke job.
Yeah, true. And you know, I think the Irish are. I mean, that to me, that game up there. But you know, Clemson. I mean, at Notre Dame to me is a big deal. At Florida State, that team looks like it's coming back a little bit. Virginia Tech, their schedule now Saturday against Syracuse. I mean, there are literally peewee teams out there that could probably beat Syracuse.
Well, speaking of which, did you hear about all this stuff online about Auburn fans wanting Hugh Freeze to come coach now? Did you see any of that?
I have not seen that, but let me stop for a moment because we've had Hugh on a couple of times. I mean, Hugh Freeze is undefeated at Liberty. He goes out and beats an ACC team that 2 or 3 years ago was Syracuse beat Clemson 3 years ago. I mean, this is a program that has done something. And, yeah, Hugh's going to be a hot coach again, and I think he deserves a really big-time job. Now, is it Auburn? I don't know.
I agree with you on that. I mean, he's a great coach. Just some of the stuff he did, I don't know. I just can't respect the guy, but, you know, I mean, everybody deserves
I've told you this before, Logan, and I for a guy that is a hardened journalist, I can be naive about people. Two or three years ago, I can't remember when it was, I sat with Hugh Freeze in the back room of a restaurant on the square in Oxford, and we had dinner, and he told me the whole story. And even though there were times where you had to use your imagination to believe him, he told a good yarn, I'll tell you that.
Well, hey, I'll defer to you, Paul. But, yeah, I mean, coaching-wise, I can see him being back in the SEC within the next 2 or 3 seasons for sure.
Well, I'll say this to you, Logan. And if we based our coaching decisions on the moral turpitude of the individuals, a lot of coaches would not be in their position right now.
I agree, sir.
And by the way, there are probably some talk show hosts who wouldn't be sitting here either.
Oh, no.
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Always good to have you on. Kathy is up next. Kathy, go right ahead. You are on the air.
Hi, Paul. I'm glad to see you're doing good today.
Thank you.
Smiling and all that great stuff. And about the game Saturday, I figured that the Crimson Tide was going to beat us. But, you know, like Kirby said, it was on him. And he's got to get past that. And I think they ought to thank us because, you know, without them getting the interceptions and all, and all the holding calls and different things. But I just want to let all the SEC nation know that they can be a Roll Tide, Auburn Tiger, a Gator fan, whatever you want to be, Razorback, but your mama's a dog.
Well, thank you very much. And you have
a good day, sweetie. I appreciate it.
Kathy, bye-bye. Thank you. And by the way, I mentioned we showed it on TV. I did not have a chance to mention it on radio. North Carolina is not on Clemson's schedule, so they catch a break there. We will take a break. A lot to do later in the program. Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated will be joining us. We hope you will, too, as well, when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Glad you are with us, and let's check in with Jim.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
who is in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Jim.
Hey, hi, Paul. Hey, Paul, I couldn't resist. I gotta say that Kirby Smart was taken to school by his teacher. I mean, Saban is an absolute coaching treasure. 69 years old coming this Halloween. The man is just phenomenal. I remember watching him in action when he was in Ohio with Toledo and coached the year on the Buckeye staff. What a genius. I'm not a Bama fan, but I just got to say, you know, Saban's coming off the field at halftime, and they ask him, well, what's going on? And Nick says, well, I got to fix a few things. We're going to fix a few things. Yeah, he fixed a few things, all right. I mean, you got to give kudos to Big Nick.
No, you do. I mean, in his career, Saturday had to be one of the better days ever because of the circumstances. And then, you know, it's the toughest test he'll have this year, and you know, until the playoffs. So he passed it, and he's in. You know, his program is in incredibly good shape right now.
Yeah, that's my take on it. I just got a lot of admiration for the guy. It's kind of like, you know, watching a legend in front of you.
Well, he is. Yeah, I mean, there's...
Think about coaching legends. He's one of the top three, four.
No, and they come very, they're very rare. And, you know, you can argue generation to generation, but he is in the same league. And really, I think he's already there, but another title, especially this year, under the circumstances, would only enhance that. Hey, thanks. Connor is in South Carolina. Hello, Connor.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Connor, we're doing great. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Here in South Carolina, I know me as a Gamecock fan, we're all real happy about that win over Auburn this past Saturday. I know this is a team that we haven't beaten since 1933, back when Franklin D. Roosevelt was president. So it was very special. And I just want your thoughts on... first of all, Paul, I think that, you know, South Carolina, they got a real good chance at beating LSU this weekend because, you know, obviously LSU is not really the same team that they were last year. And, you know, now I'm hearing reports of Miles Brennan possibly having a significant lower body injury. So I just want your thoughts on that, Paul. And I think Carolina's got a possibility to turn their season around. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, LSU, A&M at home, at Ole Miss, Georgia, Kentucky, there are some really meaty opponents remaining, but I will tell you, that was a very big win, and I'm glad to see Will Muschamp, you know, quiet everyone down. Big Dog in Nashville, you are on the air. Hello, Big Dog.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
Ain't got to talk to you in a while, brother.
Good to have you with us.
All right. About Coach Saban going in there in that second half. I wonder what he told them boys in the locker room. You think he told them it's time to pull out a can of whoop ass and go out there and smack some puppies around or what?
Yeah, and I think Eli Gold made a really good point. He got battle back, and you know that was a significant loss in the first half from targeting from the previous week. So I think he, according to what we understand, it wasn't anything dramatic. He made a few changes and you know, everything went their way in the second half.
Oh yeah. It's probably gonna be like that the rest of the year is what I say. We just gonna keep right on rolling on over them. With Mac Jones throwing the way he's throwing, the way them receivers are coming back, I don't think you can find three receivers like that nowhere in the nation.
Alex is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Alex, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul. So my question is, where do you have Mac Jones in the Heisman race? I think he's, you know, probably played the best so far this season. I looked up his stats this season compared to Joe Burrow's last year, and he has a higher completion percentage, passer rating, you know, yards per attempt. And, you know, I think so far he's shown he could be better than Trevor Lawrence, you know, especially against the competition he's played. You know, where do you have them comparing?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I must tell you, I haven't done a lot of thinking on the Heisman because we haven't seen one of the major candidates yet, and that would be Justin Fields. And I think Mac would be number two or three. I mean, if I voted today, which I wouldn't, it would be ridiculous. I think Trevor Lawrence is still the best player in the country.
Yeah. Just seeing, you know, how he didn't play so well against LSU last year, and, you know, how he plays ACC opponents all year. And
but he's still an amazing player. And I will tell you, the reason why you vote on the Heisman in December is that you want to get a body of work. But the most important thing that I look at, I'm just me, I'm one of a million voters, but I want to see what a quarterback does in the big games. I don't care about the mop-up games. And Mac Jones performed very well in the biggest game of the year, and that will go a long way in determining whether he gets the Heisman or not. Kevin is up next. Hey, Kevin, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, it's just going to take 1 minute of your time and thank all the SEC quarterbacks out there for all they do for us every week, because it is the best, worst position in all of football. It has to be. To go out there and do what they do every week and to deal with what they deal with is truly amazing. And thank all of y'all.
Well, thanks for saying that. Appreciate it. Jamie is up next. Hello, Jamie. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
How you doing today, Paul?
We are doing great.
Hey, I got a quick question. Besides the number one recruiting classes that Kirby Smart gets, what's the difference between him and Marv Rick compared to what they've done?
Well, Jamie, unfortunately for Kirby, you're going to see that comparison a lot, and the records are pretty identical. Rick may even have a better record. I think they both have two SEC. Or does Kirby have two SEC titles? No, he doesn't. He's got one in the first couple of years, and Rick, I believe, had two. I mean, I hear you. I mean, there's a lot of frustration, especially the way I asked a Georgia friend of mine earlier. I said, what's the deal with quarterback? He said, that's the best guy we got. And if that's the best guy they have, that's on Kirby Smart.
Well, I was just wondering. We was talking at work today, and I'm a big Alabama fan, but I've played football all my life. But I was just wondering, you know, besides the recruiting classes, they about tit for tat. What do you think?
Yeah, no, the records, there's not a two-game differential in four-plus years. So I hear it. It's fair. I've defended Kirby repeatedly over the last couple of years, but you know, every time he's in one of these situations, same thing happens.
That's right. Well, I appreciate it, Paul, and have a good day.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's – what else can you say? Mike is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Mike, you are on the air.
You know, Paul, there can't be too many things in this world worse than being a Georgia fan. Forever a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Well, you could, Mike, you could be an Auburn or Tennessee fan today.
Oh, no. I would cut off a finger before I'd root for Tennessee, Paul.
No, I just said, you said there's nothing you could be worse than a Georgia fan. I would take being a Georgia fan over an Auburn or Tennessee fan. That was my point.
No, I'd rather just be a mile away than on the cusp of greatness every year. And old Daryl crying like a little girl. You better hold our receivers, Daryl. If you don't, they'll run right by you, dum-dum.
Where's the other Georgia fan who ran his mouth last week? The one that has the funny nickname.
Who, Big Red Dog?
Yeah.
Ain't no telling. He's probably still in the fetal position on his living room floor in front of his TV. I had a run-in with a guy named Red Dog one time, Paul.
Had to come out.
That guy broke my eye socket and broke my nose.
Mm-hmm.
But that was okay. I got the girl.
What else matters?
That nothing else matters, brother. You know that. Roll Tide, brother. I'm going to let somebody else get on. Oh, happy days.
Augie is up next down in Louisiana. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, I told you last week that Georgia fans needed to keep their mouths shut till they've won, right?
You did say that.
They didn't win, and they need to stay in their hole because I don't know what it is about Georgia, but whenever they peek their nose into the West at any of the top teams, they go home busted, bleeding, battered. Now, Paul, we talked about this last year. I asked you the question, you were hesitant to condemn Kirby, but doesn't Kirby Smart feel really dumb now in not substituting Fields for Fromm? He would have had the guy last year. He would have had him this year. How do you think Georgia would have played last year and this year with Fields, better or worse?
Better.
So you would admit that was a colossal error on his part.
Yeah, well, I always, you know, when I agree with someone at the time, it always makes it more difficult. I mean, I thought he, there was one game that I thought he should have gone to Fields in, but he didn't, and it doesn't matter now, and... Now, this is as I said previously, it's on Kirby. The season's not over yet, but the criticism is going to rain down.
Well, Paul, I don't think the Georgia-Alabama game was the biggest story this weekend because I didn't think there was a chance in hell Georgia was going to beat Alabama. And you can watch a game and you can tell how it's going just by the camera on the quarterback's mom. Poor Stetson. His mom was very happy at the first half. Second half, not so happy. But I don't think that was the biggest story of the week. I think the two big stories of the week was Tennessee's epic demise.
I agree.
I mean, that was an epic blowout. And Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas shut down Alabama's offense. They couldn't do anything. And that was the same offense that was running all over the field.
I think it is about Tennessee for this reason. Tennessee was the program that was trying to get past Kentucky and move on up and deal with Georgia and Florida. And, I mean, that was such an astounding loss at home to a rival with Alabama coming in. I read John Adams, who was the longtime columnist in Knoxville today, and he – he didn't say Jeremy Pruitt had to beat Alabama, but he said if that team doesn't compete, then the questions are going to rain down on him. And this is a guy that a year ago had just wiggled himself out of trouble. And 3 weeks ago, Tennessee, you know, had the nation's longest winning streak or whatever it was going into the Georgia game. But we found out those wins were against nobodies. And now it's all starting to come apart.
I agree. I think Tennessee is a huge disappointment, just when Big Orange thought they had something. But leaving the SEC, Paul, that North Carolina-Florida State game, I was flipping around. That was another appalling game, and I do not think the ACC is as tough as you give it credit for. I think the next best team after Clemson might be North Carolina State, but I don't think there's any chance that Clemson's going to go.
Augie, you have to remember Notre Dame is in the league this year. So, I mean, Notre Dame looked terrible too. I mean, they won 12-7 against a hapless Louisville team. We are up against a break. Ross Dellinger in the next hour. Talk about could the protocols for COVID change? We'll go to South Carolina where they're celebrating a big win over Auburn. Have not heard from an Auburn fan yet. Maybe they're still buried in the sand. I don't know. Tennessee fans have been quiet. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. Joel is up next. Joel, thanks. Good afternoon.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And Boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Well, I got two questions for you. One, is it too soon for Auburn fans to be panicking about a negative season, like a 5-win season?
Let's see. Two. I'm just trying to do the math in my head. Two losses probably should have been three. Ole Miss this weekend. Let's see. Alabama. LSU. I'm trying to count the win. I mean, you have 10. I see at least 1, 2, 3 losses left. Yeah, I mean, 500 right now. I don't see Auburn doing any better than that. I think the real challenge is Gus Malzahn holding on to this team at the moment. And I think a loss to Ole Miss Saturday, I'm just saying if it happens, you know, could really be destructive to the program. I think it's pretty fragile right now.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just feel like last year, I understand that we lost, you know, some key players on offense and defense, and our O-line is really young. But, I mean, I don't know what coaching he's doing down there, but it seems to me Bo is on eggshells every snap. And
yes,
he's always nervous, and he's scrambling more than he should. And I don't know if he's talking his players up the way he should be, but I feel like he needs to change something.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, I mean, I've seen Malzahn wiggle himself in and out of trouble before, and but, you know, I'm trying to think of any point this season when Auburn has been impressive. Can you think of any? Other than maybe the second half against Kentucky.
I tell you right now, Paul, I'm a diehard Auburn fan, and I haven't been impressed by anything. And Bo has really saved a bunch of drives just by scrambling, you know, to get the first down.
Oh, you're right. No, his the only weapon Auburn had offensively against South Carolina was Bo dodging tacklers and trying to gain some yards. That's not a recipe to win.
No. And do you think that if Gus doesn't win at least 9 games, that he's gonna be gone?
Well, I don't think there's a you always have to look at a couple of things when you're talking about a coaching firing. Is there an appetite for change? And is there a solution to your problem? And what I hear from Auburn people is that there may be a solution to the problem, and he may already be on the staff.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I understand completely.
Thank you. Yeah, and that's always, you know, I've always argued if you're going to fire a coach and pay a big buyout, you have to start over. Let's say you pay $15 million. I can't remember what the buyout is right now. It's all over the place. Then are you going to go out and spend another $50 million on another coach? Unless you have a solution. That's where you have to keep your eyes on right now. Let's check out Kerry in Tennessee. Hey, Kerry, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing really well. Thanks a lot.
Hey, listen, UT, Jaron Tyles, major problem all the way. I've seen this guy for 4 years now, and can't deny it. I mean, give him, 17 points? I mean, defensive line played great first half. You know, what really worries me, I saw a lot of people giving up in the second half. That worries me as much as Jaron Tunnell. He's got to go, unfortunately. We can't set him down. We don't have anybody. Second, was somebody talking about Auburn getting a new coach recently? I think so.
The last call, yeah.
Yeah. I know timing has a lot to do with this and what happens and who and this and that. And of course, this one guy's got, if his wife doesn't fall in love with where she's at now, next coach at Auburn could very well be Lane Kiffin. Or Lane could get luckier. If it don't work out at LSU, he may be there.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, but I think Lane's only a couple of games into his first year at Ole Miss. Henry is in Arkansas, where I'm sure they're jumping for joy right now. Hello, Henry.
Good day, Paul.
Good day.
Hey, it's a good time here in Arkansas. Life is good, you know it.
I'm glad to hear.
I would like to say I kind of don't know which direction to go. But I did want to ask you how many games you think Arkansas will win this year. And, oh, yeah, I was going to say, did you know there's a virus going on in Arkansas?
I have not heard that, no.
It's called a happy virus. Oh, man, and it's really catching down here and affecting everybody, even the football players, even the walk-on freshmen can even, when they get it, they can make big plays. But anyway, getting back to the play, Arkansas, I think they can get to five games.
I think it's entirely possible right now. The job that coach has done is just spectacular. I mean, I don't want to belabor the point. I mean, he is. If he got a conference win this year, I thought that would have been a good deal. He has two and should have three. And I know people are tired of hearing the shoulda, woulda, couldas, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
He's done a fantastic job, and I appreciate your phone call. We're up against a break. We've already had Coach Stoops on from Kentucky, Eli Gold. A number of other guests will be joining us, including a visit to Columbia. How the temperature has certainly gone down around Will Muschamp after a big win over Auburn. It's gone up on Gus Malzahn. We'll take a break.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back. I appreciate all of you being with us here on a Monday afternoon. Let's check in with Jake, who is in Birmingham. Hey, Jake.
Hey, bud. Hey, listen, I called into your show last Thursday, and I just wanted to say I appreciate y'all letting me kind of vent and get some things off my chest. It's actually very cathartic. So I do appreciate that.
Sure.
Hey, this bickering on the sidelines, you know, having coached for quite a while on various levels, you know, things like that are going to happen occasionally. But when it starts happening routinely, I think that's the first big red flag of a coach losing his team. I mean, you know, especially when you've got a kid barking back at the coaches, because that would happen one time over in Tuscaloosa, and I'm an Auburn fan, but that would happen one time, and you wouldn't see it again. So I think you hit on a good point. I think most people know. I mean, we've seen the handwriting on the wall. Just the inconsistency out of Gus, Paul, it just makes you sick to your stomach, you know. In 17, when they beat Alabama and Georgia back-to-back, you know, Georgia and Alabama combined at, I don't know, 8 or 10 first-round draft picks, Auburn had zero, and you say, well, how'd they beat them? Well, they beat them on coaching. But you can't get any semblance of that consistency.
Jake, let me ask you, because you understand the mentality of a coach. Try to explain to all of us, as a former coach and an Auburn fan, what the problem in your estimation is.
It's Gus Malzahn.
But what is there about him, though, that seems like it's always? I mean, no matter how the problem gets solved, it always seems like before you celebrate, you're right back to where you started.
You know, it's the hardest thing for coaches to do, and that's relinquish control and delegate authority. And I think he has a hard time doing that. And plus, you know, the offense he was running, it's great, it's good, it's dandy when you have the right quarterback. You know, it's not like you can have, you know, varying degrees of talent put in that offense. It has to be a specific type of quarterback to run his offense and for it to be successful. And you don't have it. And, you know, call it Chad Morris is calling plays or not, but, you know, it's his inconsistency. I think he's a little light in the pants when it comes to authority and discipline. I don't know that for a fact, but it would appear to be that way. Just in development, Paul, of players. I tell you what Tuberville did a great job of. They didn't have all these 4 and 5 stars, but you can say this. Tuberville and that staff did develop players. A lot of the kids, they got drafted, Paul, they weren't 4 and 5 star kids. They got down there and they developed them. And he wasn't the best in the world, but they did a great job of developing. I don't see any development, especially out of those receivers. Anthony Schwartz, he's the fastest man in college football, but can he catch a football consistently? So I think it's time, man. I hate to call people's jobs. I think it's time for a change. And you know, those red flags are starting to pop up every week, Paul.
Yeah, Jake, I will say this. I think that team is on the brink. And I've always felt that the most dangerous part of this year, with all the issues that are connected to COVID and the pressure, is that if you lose your team, you may not ever get it back. And I think when you go through what Auburn has been through with the Arkansas debacle and the Georgia game and then what happened Saturday, you are on the brink and you need to turn it around. And you know, Ole Miss is not a great team right now, but they can score points. And this is a dangerous game.
Yeah, I'll say this, and I'll let you go. You know, it's at that point, Paul, where you know he finds a way to get himself out of a lot of problems, a lot of trouble by winning those games. That, you know, those comeback games. And, you know, he coaches like his sack's on fire, but he doesn't. It doesn't appear that he does that every game, and that's the inconsistency. And I know that frustrates all us Auburn fans, but. Paul, I appreciate
it. Well done. Hey, Jake, thanks. Check in. Always good to hear from you. Charles is up next.
How you doing, Paul?
In real town. Welcome back.
Thank you. I tell you one thing, Paul. I'm mad as I can be. What's my them Auburn Tigers? No, you don't have to tell me. I tell you. They ain't got no coach for one thing. They ain't got no recruiter for another thing. They got a recruiting coordinator up there. Well, he ain't doing his job. He can't recruit offensive linemen. He can't recruit defensive linemen. He can't recruit nothing. That's why we're in the shape we're in. Gus Malzahn has lost control of that team. They don't want to play for him. It's been the same thing happening all year long, happening last year. When is he going to straighten up and be a coach? Never. He ain't never been a coach. He's a high school coach. I wish he'd go back to high school. I tell you one thing. Y'all trying to build up Mac Jones being a Heisman Trophy candidate? Anybody could be a Heisman Trophy candidate for playing quarterback for Alabama. Bo Nix could be. He'd step back there in the pocket and make completions with the receivers he got and the offensive line he's got. Mac Jones, he's a regular quarterback. Never will be a Heisman Trophy winner. Never will be a candidate. You put old Bo Nix back there, he would be as good as Mac Jones. Probably better. Auburn's got to do something up there. If they don't do something, I'm going to do something.
Charles, it's great to have you back. But when Charles from Real Town starts going after the coach, your program's got some problems. We are going to take a break. Welcome back, Charles. We missed you. Much more to come, including Ross Dellinger in the next hour.